So welcome again. This is episode 3 in a mini series, which was inspired by Goodison Park, specifically. And the reason that Goodison Park was on our minds is because that grand old stadium closes at the end of the 24-25 season. A stadium that's given me a lot.
And me.
working, watching Everton down the years. But Andy, of course, something very, very special. He was part of, and I will say, because I do believe it to be the case, the best Everton team that ever represented the football club. And that's saying something when you think back to Ball, Harvey, Kendall, Joe Royal, Harry Catterick's teams, the Golden Vision, the winners in 66. You know, Everton have had some good sides, Dixie Dean, and that extraordinary record that still stands today. And we were, last time we were with you discussing the 85 season, we were partway through. But before we go on with that tale, I did just want to stop for a moment to talk a little bit about Goodison as an arena. It of its era, it was imposing.
Yes.
It was a magnificent, magnificent arena. Yeah. I still think today is one of the most atmospheric, but it is time.
Aging.
It has aged.
It has.
What was it like inside? Because that's an area that we don't get to visit.
I mean, now, I mean, so many people now are party to what the new stadiums have given, these huge cavernous changing rooms that are circular. Almost, is it holistic, the word they use now for the dressing room, Skeezy?
Yeah, half ball. Yeah, they're semicircular,
They're circle, so the manager can see everyone or walk round everyone. And the entrances now to these grounds, these new grounds, are beautiful places, like walking into a five-star hotel. Goodison's couldn't be more opposite. As you know yourself, the player's entrance is like, it's like a door that size, that wide, you know, that you walk through and then you're in the corridor.
Off the main street.
Off the main street, basically. The bus has to park on the main street with fans everywhere, all around you. Five or six steps, you're in the ground. Down the tunnel, there's the player's entrance just on the left, I think, as you go down the tunnel. And it's the tunnel's only just a little bit wide on this table.
Players' tickets to be collected at reception on that left-hand side. Yeah.
And then down to the bottom, then you've got, if you were to go right, and you're in a, you know, another narrowish tunnel. You could probably get three abreast in the tunnel if you're lucky. Pitch that way. Left, dressing room. So you'd come to the visitor's dressing room first, and then you go through into like a manager's office, where I was in there with David Moyes about 4 or 5 weeks ago when I went up. And so I was in there with Moisey and then through to the dressing room. And it hadn't changed much since I was there. I hadn't been in the dressing room for, well, probably since
years.
I left. Probably since I left, Keezy. And it looked pretty much the same. There were a few more bits of technology in there and things like that. And more modern thing, tactics boards and all these sort of things.
I suppose the reason I ask you about it is because I know that when you put a shirt on and you took to the playing field, you didn't hear or see anything else. I spoke to you once of that row of floodlights on the main stand. If you're looking into that main stand, there's a row of lights along there. And I said to you, were they there when you played? And you, well, I don't know. The reason was I thought they were so low
the ball,
that you'd lose the ball in it.
Yeah, I remember you saying
that. I know that there's music pre and post match that you never heard.
No.
Were you aware of the Zed Cars thing?
No, not until you told me. Because I don't know whether that was just ignorance is bliss.
No,
I was just, because I wasn't the best footballer in the world. So I really had to concentrate when I was playing football. I really had to try and be my best and focus on what I was trying to do, you know, because there were so many other players better than I was. And so I don't know whether it was because, when I went down that tunnel, I'd be having the boys, let's giving it all that, giving it large, noisy, bump, focus, get out onto the pitch. The last thing I would be thinking about as I ran out of the pitch was, oh, what's that music playing? I would just get on there, get off, get the whistle blown, and let's get
on. That music, of course, goes from Goodison to Bramley Dock.
Did it come from?
It has to. Well, where it came from was in the early 60s. Yeah. There's only viewers of a certain generation will know this, but there was a very famous BBC series, police series, called Zed Cars.
I remember it. Well.
Zed Cars, because the cars, they were Zephyrs, Ford Zephyrs. Yeah. And it was filmed
is that why it was called Zed Cars? Because of the Zephyr?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I don't know.
And the series was filmed in the TV series. They were the new town police. But the new town was Kirby, on the periphery of Liverpool. Yeah. And that's where the outside scenes were filmed. I'll give you more detail. The cars were actually yellow, not white, because it was shot in black and white. The yellow show up better. But three members of the cast were invited to Goodison to promote the series on one afternoon. And they played the theme tune as these guys came on the field. And Everton won the game.
Wow.
So it was played every week.
Since. Wow.
And I really like it.
Yeah, I do. I think it's
stirring.
Yeah.
You know? And I said to you this season, will they take it? And I thought, well, that's a daft question to ask because you've got to.
You've got to.
Yeah.
Oh, I think Evertonians would never have allowed it not
absolutely
to be taken.
Absolutely not.
No, they cannot start.
But there was no good reason other than superstition. Yeah. We won, so we'll keep doing that.
Keep doing it.
Yeah. Didn't always work, and it didn't work for Howard in the early years of his tenure. But at the time we were discussing in episode two, is getting actually genuinely exciting for Evertonians. Just to update you, Adrian Heath had scored 11 goals in that season, injured when he did his ACL at Sheffield Wednesday. Peter Reid exacted revenge on the individual who he blamed for that injury, Brian Marwood.
Yeah.
But you'd won 1-5 going into Christmas. Yeah. You're now playing. I think you said in the last episode 13 without a goal, but it turns out it was better than that.
It was 11.
11. But Everton are winning games, six in a row post-Christmas. Yeah. And I said to you, I thought there was a reason why you started scoring goals again.
You talk about superstition.
Right.
Yeah? And you talk about crazy facts. On my return to the team, Inchi had worn 8. Now, I'd never worn anything other than 9 for Everton when I played. Sharpie would wear 8.
Occasionally, in your career, you were a 10 when you started out.
Oh, no, I was
you?
A 10, but what I'm saying, no, when I was at Everton, I always wore 9 when I played. I never wore any other number, so I always wore 9. But when Inchi got injured, Sharpie obviously had the 9 at the time, and he kept it, as he would, and I wore 8.
In an era, again, we should, for younger viewers, explain that there was only 1 to 11.
Yeah.
There weren't squad numbers.
No, you didn't have 12, 14, unless you were sub.
You just wore the jersey of the individual that was injured or that had been dropped.
And that was Inchi, number 8. I wore 8. For those 11 games, I wore 8. And nothing went in for me. Nothing went right.
I'm not going to drink, so I'm going to laugh. Go on.
Nothing went right. You know, I'd hit the bar, I'd hit the post, I'd hit a defender on the line. Nothing was happening, although we were winning. We go to Leicester, big game, a massive game in the build-up. Sharpie's injured. I went, right, that's it. 9, get it on. It's true. So we go to Leicester. Woof, 9 goes on. Playing Leicester. 0-0. Tough game. Great atmosphere. Our away fans were amazing that day. I'll never forget. And I managed to bundle in a header to put us 1 up. I'm thinking, at last. There you go. And it's like, oh, relax. Then Lineker scores. Equaliser. And I've gone on.
For Leicester,
yes. Yeah. So Gary Lineker scores equaliser for Leicester. So we're like that again. And then I have to say, I scored one of the best right foot goals I've ever scored to win the game. Bob from Psycho Pat up to Trevor Stephen, who was playing up front with me that day. Gonna put Trevor as a kind of 9.5. And he flicked it on. And I ran out there, and it was just outside the penalty area, and it was on my right side, and the defender was coming in to tackle me, and I thought, I've got to hit this. I'm not getting any time to do anything, just hit it. So I couldn't control it, couldn't do anything with it, so I just swung my right foot at it as hard as I could and flew into the bottom corner, and I was off, because I thought it was offside, and I went right over to the linesman who hadn't given Lineker's goal offside, and I gave him a mouthful as well. But
that's unlike you.
I know, I was off and running. I was off and running, Keezy, and... it was like the weight, although the weight could have been heavier if we hadn't been winning, the weight was still, on a personal note, was heavy. And I just, that day I just went, pushed it away, and I went on and got loads of goals.
What happened when Sharpie got fit?
I kept the 9. Of course I did.
Well, was that a conversation between the two?
No chance. Must have been. Senior pro. Sharpie, I'm keeping 9. You are wearing 8. Okay? Okay, Andy. Sharpie was just delighted to be back. That kept the 9. But I told him, I said, Shappy, you can't have the nine back. He went, why? I said, because look, I've got 8 games. I've got 11 games with 8, and I couldn't.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but you didn't wear 9 in the cup final.
Didn't I? Oh, that was the season before. Yeah. Why didn't I wear 9? Shappy wear that.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah. Anyway, so you're wearing 9 now.
I'm wearing 9. Anyway, I wore 8. I didn't like 8. It was a rubbish number. 10 I would have accepted because I like 10. I like the number 10.
That was Bracewell.
I know, but I like 10. I started as 10, as you say. where was I?
yeah. We're now in April 1985, and this is a game that I witnessed also. This was going to settle the title.
Yeah, allegedly.
Well, it did, really, in a way, because Tottenham were going really well that season. And it was one or the other. It's April, and that's a bit early, really, to be talking about a match that settled. But it did, I think, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
It was the winners that night, all of us felt were going to go on and win the title.
Uh-huh.
And none of us thought that Everton could go there and win.
No.
Except those of you in that dressing room.
Yeah.
What convinced you?
Everything. The way we were playing. We were still in the FA Cup. We were still in Europe. We were buzzing. You know, when people go in modern day about being tired, I don't get it, because I know we weren't playing with 25-man squads back then, as you know, Casey. Far from it. What would you have, 15?
You'd have probably, if you'd used more than, probably
15
players.
Max.
Liverpool won a title using only 14.
Yeah, so did Villa, using 14. But we were probably, we were going through that season, competing in all these fronts, with 15, 16 players available. And the one thing you don't really do, well, you're not aware of, is being tired. You can't wait for the next game to come. But you're right, we went to White Hart Lane and it was an evening and a half. Now, they were up for it. They knew as well. I think they had 6 home games left as well, which everyone said that'll be the key. If they beat Everton tonight, those home games will drive Tottenham to the title. And we went there. And I remember Martin Tyler, Martin, interviewing me before the game in our hotel. And I was kind of, like I told you about in one of the other episodes, about trying to talk things down and not big things up too much before a game. He asked me, would I be happy with a point tonight? And I said, well, Martin, I said, only wins satisfy this team. And when I said it, I thought, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Can't take that back.
Like, and he went, what? I said, well, yeah, only wins satisfy this team. And he went, and that was it. And he was out, and we were away. And
that's the line, by the way, as a reporter. That's the line you want.
Is it?
Yeah. That's it. The rest is almost insignificant. That's the line. Andy Gray says.
Yeah. Only wins.
Only winning here will be enough.
Good enough. Yeah. And that, in many ways, I believed it inside, but I shouldn't have said it outside.
No.
So we go. I get the first goal. Trevor Stephen gets a fantastic second. And then, is it Graham Roberts, I think?
Yeah.
I never liked him.
No, you didn't like him because he was one of few that would stand up to you, Graham. He was... And that these... By the way, we're
stand up to you. There's a difference between standing up to you and whacking you.
We're talking about the
a defenseless...
Spurs weren't Spursy in this
No,
era.
They weren't Spursy. But him and Paul Miller, they just used to chip centre-forwards to each other.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was a right battle. And remember Graham Sharp saying to me, what have you done to these two? I said, what? He said, well, I've never had a problem before. I said, well, you will from now on, so get into them. Honestly. So, and that night was the night that Neville Southall stood head and shoulders and didn't have much to do, but what made him the best in the world at that time was late on, very late on, Mark Falco. Has a header from 5 yards.
Good centre forward and specialist header.
Could
of
head
the ball.
Yeah. As you know, Keezy, could head it. So the ball comes in from the left and Mark goes up and I'm thinking, oh no, equaliser. That's all we need. No. It's stupid of me. I should have remembered who was in goal for us.
To relate it to the modern era, for me, that was a little bit like Schmeichel for Manchester United at Newcastle.
Exactly.
When they threw everything at Manchester United.
Yeah.
Cantona nicked it on a Monday
Correct.
Night.
That was it.
Neville's performance was of the same kind of stature.
Our performance at Tottenham was a bit like that.
Yeah.
It was a bit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Football writers player of the year that season. Oh, and that doesn't happen often.
No, not for goalies. But he was just, he was awesome, Kiese. I mean, awesome. And to have him there, you kind of knew that if we get a goal, we kind of knew if we score, we ain't losing the game. Mm. The worst we'll get is a 1-1 because they won't get two. Not against the big
10 wins in a row.
Oh, we're flying.
And the title is won, fittingly, at Goodison against Queen's Park Rangers. Yeah. Do you have memories of that? And we're talking with... There are five games left in the season.
Yeah. Oh, we romped it. We were in an unbelievable run. I think we went 28 games unbeaten.
Yeah.
28 unbeaten from the defeat at the turn of the year there. And it was just an amazing response. That's league and obviously Europe, FA Cup as well, I'm talking. So 28 games. That day was a big one. We knew it was a lovely sunny day. QPR really had nothing to play for. But I remember early on in the game thinking, wow, because what was the guys up front? Was it Bannister, Gary Bannister?
Gary almost certainly was in that area.
Gary Bannister. I'm sure it was Gary. Went through and hit a great shot across goal and it hit the post and came out. And you could feel the whole crowd take a big sigh. And then we've gone, oh, I need to sort this out. So I think we, first half, I managed to get on the end of a cross and keep the ball. They were trying to clear it. I managed to keep it back in. And I headed it back across goal. And Derek Mountfield, how many times did that man get a goal? Unbelievable.
Off the top of my head, I think that season, 15 or 16
it was.
Times.
15, yeah. You're exactly right, 15.
Just for a centre. Derek Mountfield. The only other one I can liken to it was Brucey in the year that I think United won the title. You got about 14.
Derek, 15 Incredible. Goals. And he smashed the volley in off the bar. And then we turned round. Obviously, we're going to the Gladys Street second half. Did they get a goal? They might have got an equaliser. I think they get an equaliser, but and then the second half, or maybe they didn't. And but 1-0, you still, you know, could go. And then Pat Psycho, he just drifts a ball in from the left. Beautiful cross towards Sharpie and I. Sharpie's just in front of me, and the big man goes up. Great header. Gladys Street, gone. Game over. Thank you very much.
But just want to dwell on that particular incident because we've talked about how alike you were. But you'd worked out that one could go near and the other would stay on the second post. But on that moment, your eyes must have lit up.
And he's
taking it off your head.
What we always worked on, the one who, unless you get a call, the one who was second stayed second. One who was second post stayed second post. And unless I called him, switch, then we'd do that. And same with him. If he called me, we would just walk that. Otherwise, we'd make little runs and go that way, both attack that. This one, I went in near, I think, and it went over me. And Graham came in and powered in a header. And it was just, do you know when the whistle goes? And I remember sitting in the bath, Kiese. I wonder, that bath won't be there, surely now.
No, the bath will have gone long.
That must have gone. The communal baths are no longer. Are they no longer? No. Oh, wow. So anyway, we're all sitting in the bath singing Everton songs or whatever it is. And you're getting interviewed. And I said, and I meant it. Somebody said, how does it feel? And I said, I don't know. Because, you know, you watch, let's just say, I recently watched Rory McIlroy join an elite group of golfers and make himself immortal. But what Rory did was in the moment, right? It was that 4 hours. That was it. What we had achieved, and maybe Rory's was an achievement of years, but that particular victory was the one. To put any words what I think we won it with about 5 games to go, did you say? To try and put any words what 37 games, 38 games.
42.
No, but we'd only played 37.
Oh, till that point, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, I don't know, I just feel happy. I'm happy, relieved, content, all the things.
When your story replicated that era, you were both the club, the team, and you as an individual. You're on your backside when you came together.
Yeah.
Going nowhere.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying, trying to put that into context, work all that out.
Yeah.
The journey that, I mean, you know, we're near ending it yet, you're partway through. It just must have been euphoric. But you couldn't feel it because you're trying to sort it out in your head.
I genuinely couldn't feel it easy. I was in the dressing room with Howard. I can remember Gaffer come over, a bottle of champagne. He went to me here and I went, you first, Gaffer. I couldn't take it right before he did. I said, you first, Gaffer. I remember seeing it. And Howard took a drink and gave me it, and I only took a small sip, you know, because the game's just finished.
Well, you've also got big games to come in this season.
Yeah, massive games to come. We've still got two cups.
Yeah.
That we're involved in. Yeah,
two semi-finals on the horizon.
Yeah, huge semi-finals.
And one, you nearly blew one of them.
Luton.
Yeah.
But we go on again about players' tiredness and what players are asked to do. We played Bayern Munich in Munich on a Wednesday night.
And first leg of a semi-final in the Cup Winners' Cup.
Yes. And then the following, that Saturday, we had to play an FA Cup semi-final. 3 days later. Oh, come on. That's hardly fair.
Yeah.
When you've already played over, some guys have played 50 games. But we did. We did. Fortunately, Sheeds and I were injured for the game in Munich. Kevin Sheedy and I didn't play. First leg, drew 0-0. Great result. They were good. I mean, they were good.
They were very good.
They were good. And we were kind of, you know, scruffy little Everton who hadn't really done anything for a few years, apart from just winning the league.
No, but in Europe.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing. And then we came back, and I remember, it's like you come back on the Wednesday night straight after. No, I think we stayed.
I would say you probably travelled Thursday, knowing the routine. You came back Thursday morning.
Yeah, because I think I went noised Reedy up in his bedroom after the first leg.
Yeah, I think you probably
did.
A tray of
sandwiches.
Well. Yeah. And.
Tray of sandwiches.
Yeah. Puddings.
So we came back. So Thursday, you'd do nothing. Friday, you'd get up, go into training. You'd still be sort of recovering from a massive semi final. And the lads that played, as I say, Sheeds and I didn't. Getting the bus, you know.
I mean, it's very much after the Lord Mayor's show.
Yes.
It's an FA Cup semi-final.
I know. At Villa Park.
For the champions.
Villa Park.
But
I know. It's a hard get. Yeah. It's a hard lift. And we almost blew it. But again, Neville.
See, I don't think the opposition helped you either.
What do you mean?
Well, David Pleats, Luton.
They were good.
Yeah, they were, but
they were good.
I mean, if it had been Manchester United, you'd have all have concentrated perhaps a little
bit
more.
Oh, you thought we maybe thought we'd beaten them?
It's Luton.
I don't know. Don't think so. They were good side, some good players on that team.
But it was Luton.
They did. Anyway, we went down in that game. Ricky Hill?
Yes.
Scored. Yeah. And yeah. We looked for the world as if we were going out. For the world as if we were going out. And this is where, you know, the modern game, when Howard, with 10 minutes to go, I remember looking over and there's Sharpie and I are on the pitch. And he goes to Derek Mountfield. Derek, go there. You know, go there. Right? And then he came up with
us. So now you've got three up top.
So there's three up top, and we're going to go longer than we've ever gone. Right? And what they did to compliment, what he did, David Pleat, shouted at Mick Harford, Mick, go back with him. Because they're protecting him 1-0. Go back. So it was almost like we were playing with the two centre-halves. Fozzie, I remember the head bandage. Yeah. Whoever played with him and Mick Harford, and as it would transpire, a long ball up and Derek Mountfield's going to take it down, a flick it on edge of the box, and Mick Harford's clambering all over him trying to get to the football. Free kick, and I'll never forget this. It's like 2 minutes to go, something like that. So we've got free kick, Sheeds is on it as always, the wall goes up, and Les Seely, God rest his soul, Les is in goal. And he puts someone on the left post. So I've gone, I see this, and I've gone, right, come on. So I grabbed a couple of other boys and went and stood right in front of Les, 6 yards out. I thought, we'll make this as hard as we can. We might need to. And then because I did that, Les took his teammate off
you
the post.
By the whoever it was on the post invited you in because you couldn't be offside.
Couldn't be offside. So I took two or three of us in there
and stood on top of the keeper.
And pretty much stood there. And then Les went, no, get. And he panicked.
He realised.
He realised, what have I done here? But it took him off the post. And as, again, small things, small margins. Sheeds hits a scruffy free kick, I mean a scruffy free kick, and exactly into the corner, low, where the defender was stood.
Yeah.
And it hit the post and went in. And the whole place, well, I'll say the whole place, half the ground erupted. And I looked at our bench, and our bench was everywhere, all over the pitch and everything. And I knew we were winning it. I knew. Went to extra time. I didn't care. It didn't matter. We'd played the semi-final 3 days before. Went to extra time and we were bigger, stronger and better. And Derek Mountfield, again, gets the winner. Can't write it.
So now that's the title in the bag, an FA Cup final appearance to come. Not quite over the line in the Cup Winners' Cup,
no.
But the most, the most famous night ever at Goodison Park.
In my opinion, yes.
Just around the corner. So that I think we should save for episode 4 and discuss further.